It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Oh, honey, it's good to be back around the table again in a brand new year. Lord, I'm looking forward to a great 2022.
Me too.
All of us, I think, have probably spent a little bit of time thinking about what happened in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff was not expected. We really, really hoped that things would be over with the pandemic by the end of 2020. We thought we could get back to normal, but things are not normal.
Right.
We're looking forward to what God is going to do for us that is new. He's going to make all things new. And that is my prayer for 2022.
And he does. That is his character. That is what he's about. Making things new, redeeming things, and bringing dead things to life.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live under a cloud. And yet, I do want to be realistic about the fact that storms do come.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back through history, how has the church dealt with trials and tribulations that didn't seem to relent? Every generation that faces something like this figures, oh, this has got to be the end of times.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been this bad, and therefore God must be wrapping things up. Maybe he will, but we also have to recognize that God has put us here for such a time as this.
In every generation, we see that. Over and over, there is a time that that generation has to go through its catharsis.
Mm.
Breaking out of the cocoon and leaving behind the old. And I think that's a good place for us to be. We don't want to carry the baggage of the past into a new year with us. And I don't mean that to say just ignore it and it'll go away and all of that sort of thing. No, we acknowledge the difficulties and the hardships, but we go forward knowing that God has our best in his heart and mind. God wants to redeem those things.
And he has it in his plan, too. Mm. It's not something we just have a vain hope for. We can, no matter what the circumstances give us in the year 2022, we can be different people.
Mm.
Here's your invitation, friends. Let's turn it over to God and ask him to do something new in us. Because 2022, no matter what happens to us, we could be different people through it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be willing in 2022 to see good things come from the hand of the Lord.
Well, Bram, let's get into chapter 13 of the book of John and see where Jesus is headed. We know that from the end of chapter 12, he was headed into Jerusalem.
Yep, he's made his case.
We saw his triumphal entry and their preparation for the Passover.
And he hasn't turned people away from coming to the conclusion that he truly is the Messiah.
Right.
He's made it as clear as can be at this point. And so his first act then, after declaring himself to be the Messiah, is something that, of course, nobody was expecting. And we'll read about that in this chapter.
Mm. I'm reading in the Holman Christian Standard Version. That's one that we have fallen back on countless times throughout our series of Chasing the Word. It just is a great translation, and we love the way it reads. So starting in verse 1, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them completely. Now, by the time of supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So, he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will know." "You will never wash my feet, ever," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who is bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. But he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, "You are not all clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and this is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen. But the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I assure you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. There's a lot to unpack in that 20 verses.
We say that at the beginning of every single broadcast, but that's okay.
That's true. We're
actually going to get through John chapter 13 in about 2 weeks worth of time. So even reading it in both translations that we're doing today, we'll get through this. And so it has to pick some important points that may not have been looked at in the way you were taught this in church. We're not trying to create a new theology by any means. We're just trying to bring attention to the things that pop out to us that may not be just the normal run-of-the-mill sermon on washing feet. Context. We've talked about that forever in our series here. What's happening around the situation that we find ourselves in, this scene, the way John writes it, has a context, and the reason they're doing it is important. You remember, Jesus has just come in triumphant. The people have announced him to be Messiah. They have literally baptized him with their worship. He's been cleansed, so to speak, by the anointing of the people around him. We also know he's already had an anointing from his father. That's very clear from the time he was baptized by John. So he's clean inside and out. He's asking those people to follow him into where he's going. And they still don't get what's coming next. The thing that really surprises me is the interaction between him and Peter. It's almost like, man, if Peter really knew where this was going, he might have rethought his whole response. Not just the way he started it, but the way he finished it. Because Jesus says, if you do not do this, if you not go through the motions, literally, do the thing that is on the paper to do right now, and let me show you how this is done, and let me do it to you, you have no part with me. And Peter says, well, then give me a whole shower.
Yeah.
Jesus is not talking about going into glory, but everyone expects him to be. They expect the very next thing on the calendar to be his coronation.
Right.
He's going to become the ruler of the Jewish people and set to shame those who have tormented them for so many generations and set up a new glorious kingdom. They still, even as his disciples, don't even realize he has already established his kingdom. And I think long after this book was written, by the time they sit around and talk about what happened during this week, crucifixion, resurrection, and then the long night into Pentecost, years later they sit down talking about this, saying, we had no clue what was coming. But even then, Jesus was saying, this is the best thing. You are to follow me. I want you to follow me. It will not be an easy path.
Yeah.
Jesus did not choose an easy path for himself or his disciples. And we often forget that in our modern day. It's so removed from us, we don't want to acknowledge that, you know what? Part of our experience of following Jesus may in fact be difficulty.
Well, Jesus himself said, you will have trouble. You will have trials. We've talked about that on the program even.
But people, when they hear that, they often think in terms of, well, opposition's going to come against you. They don't talk in terms of, it just may be hard to do this. It may be difficult. It may cost you a lot. It may not be fun. You know, he's showing them an example of doing something that the world expects of them. Their religion said you should be ceremonially clean and show that you are respecting the traditions that was given to you by your forefathers. Be respectful. Do those things, but they're not the big thing. Jesus is saying there's something beyond this, but do the things you're required to do anyway.
I like how Jesus is always setting an example for us. He's always showing us how to do life, how to do things, how to serve others, how to lead others. And he does that in such a way that riles people up. And we've talked about that on the program before. But I have to say this about Peter. I just love his brash outburst here. You know, you're not going to do this. You're not washing my feet. Because that job was literally left for the lowest of the low in the household. And here, the teacher, the master, their Lord, is bowing to this menial task, groveling at their feet, washing their dirty feet. I imagine it was a bit embarrassing for them because none of them had stepped up to the task, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. They come into this room expecting great things to happen, this incredible dinner. Nobody has even thought about providing for the basics. They should have had somebody hired to do the things that were required to prepare you for this feast. Everyone has to have their feet washed and be ceremonially clean before they can participate in this event. That's just expected. But nobody seemed to have thought about it. Where is the servant or the people that are there to do those things?
Right.
No one showed up. But you know what? Jesus noticed. Mm-hmm. And he stepped right in because there was not someone there to do the job. Jesus didn't complain. And I don't think that Jesus was making a point of saying, you screwed up. There should have been somebody here to do this, but I'm going to do it for you anyway. So there. You know, at the same time, I don't
think he ever has that attitude.
Yeah, probably not. But I also think he's not going out of his way to set up a situation where he's making a huge point here. I think he just literally, organically, in the circumstances, found himself where he was, observed what was required, and did it without even a second thought. I don't think it was a mistake or that he was forgetful either. But I don't think it's such a big production that we seem to think about it over thousands of years. Like, yeah. Jesus set this whole thing up.
Well, perhaps. I also think that Jesus is pretty aware of surroundings and aware of what's going on. He knows what he's going to teach them.
Yeah.
You know, he's very in tune with the Spirit. One of the things I've always pondered about this passage is the fact that Jesus washes Judas' feet, knowing what Judas is about to do. And that is such a beautiful picture of complete love for this man that Jesus had. He loved Judas. Scripture tells us, I just read, he loved them completely. Mm-hmm. He loved them to the end. He loved them.
All of them.
All of them, yeah. Through this. Judas was in there in the mix, and Jesus washed his feet. That is such a beautiful picture of what we are to do, how we are to live in this world of people who are our perceived enemies. I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Judas is the bad guy here.
John certainly sets him up to be identifiable from the beginning, like the butler did it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You could see it coming all along. And he makes that kind of clear the way he writes the book. It was obvious in retrospect, and we should have known all along, but there it is. I also think about how we compare ourselves to the disciples. I've heard sermons before about which one of these disciples are you when you come to this place? Are you the Peter who, you know, bucks the trend and then completely collapses when he's actually confronted by Jesus to consider his perspective and change it, and he actually does? Are you a Bartholomew? Are you a Philip? Are you an Andrew? Are you a John? Who are you in this? Mm-hmm. And then do like a character study. No one seems to preach on the question of whether or not we would identify with Judas.
Mm. Well, no one wants to identify with Judas.
Because of the whole story we know. But I think we're a Judas a lot. Mm. By the time we walk into the room, knowing that God is doing good things for us, that he's invited us in, that he cleans us up, that he sets us on the right path, and still we don't trust him. Mm. We don't really trust him to show us the true path. We have to make him do things for us or do the right thing as we see it to be done.
Yeah.
Because Judas was not guilty of calling Jesus a liar. He was guilty of manipulating Jesus for his own purposes and then it falling flat on his face and his life being destroyed over it.
Mm. Trying to force his hand.
Yeah, he tried to force God to do something that he thought was right, the just thing to do to liberate the people. How many times do we find ourselves in that position where we try to manipulate God by the way we pray, by the way we think, by the way, whatever?
Yeah.
And still he says, come to the table.
And I'll wash your feet.
Before you even get to that point. This is a call to us today, I think, to identify with Judas, but not to identify with the rebellion.
That is definitely something to think about for a while.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Honey, why don't you read from The Dynamic Gospel now?
From the book of John, chapter 13, starting at verse 1 again. This, again, is a different version we've done as a special project for Compassion Radio. You're welcome to have this one. It's available every week on our Bible study guide that goes with each of these chapters, but it's also available in a bound edition that we'd love to send you for your support of Compassion Radio. So look that up on our website. Again, chapter 13, verse 1. More than the feast was at hand this Passover, Jesus knew in the core of his being that his hour had come. The journey home to his Father was about to begin. As much as he longed for it, he loved his own just as much and would soon give the full measure of devotion for them. The formal dinner had barely been completed when the evil seed in the heart of Judas burst into full flower. The man was determined to force a showdown by handing Jesus over to the authorities. And forevermore would the name of Judas be a disgrace to the house of his fathers. The strains of this vicious fugue were playing in the heart of Jesus. Everything, good and bad, that could possibly happen to mankind weighed upon him. Mm-hmm. The Father was giving it to him to judge. He now had to choose how to deal with it. Soon he would have to present the results to his Father face to face. So Jesus rose from the table, removed his cloak and tunic, setting aside the garments of his authority. He picked up the rags of the servant and wrapped them around himself. The students watched in shock as Jesus picked up the ceremonially unclean wash basin and filled it with water. He carried it to the first of his disciples and knelt to wash his feet, wiping them dry with the towel wrapped around his waist. He continued down the line while the men sat in stunned silence. As Jesus approached Simon Peter, the man couldn't bear it, saying, "Master, what on earth are you doing? You're going to cringe at the feet of your own student, dirtying yourself?" Jesus answered patiently, "Peter, I know it doesn't make sense right now, but believe me, this is something you will desperately need to remember later on. You'll understand when it's time." Peter, overwhelmed by the moment, shook his head violently. "No, no! The master never washes the feet of the student, and you'll never wash mine." "Peter," Jesus answered firmly, "if you refuse, then we're through. You'll be on the outside from now on." Now that shook Peter up. "Lord, I'm sorry. If you want to wash me, then do it all. I'm ready for a shower." Jesus chortled, Peter, this isn't a game of one-upsmanship. This is to make you clean according to the law. Clean feet are enough for the purpose at hand." Jesus finished and looked up at the group. "There, Peter, you're clean. Yet not all of you are clean or ever will be." Jesus knew full well who was going to betray him and called it like it was. Those were words of final judgment. "You are not all clean." Jesus continued this same humbling act of service till each disciple was honored. He dressed and returned to his place at the table, saying, "Do you have any inkling what this means, what I've done to you? You shout on the streets, 'Here comes the great teacher and master,' and that's fine. I have come to lead the way. So if I demonstrate this humble and menial chore, washing your feet, what does it mean? Simply this: follow my example." Literally. This isn't a suggestion. Show your love for me by serving each other, even if it's humiliating. If that means scraping the mud from between each other's toes, so be it. Ponder this and think hard about it. The slave is never greater than his master. Neither is the ambassador ever greater than the king who sends him out. This is knowledge that can transform you. It will bring you much joy if you put it into practice. I know I'm not getting through to all of you. I know I'm responsible for whom I choose, and as to fulfill the scripture that says, "The one who shares my table and eats my bread will nonetheless kick me in the teeth." I say it to you now so that when it all seems to fall apart, you will know it was no surprise to me. Even when it doesn't look like it, I am still in the driver's seat. I swear that anyone who welcomes my ambassadors has received me as well. And more than that, the one who sent me is honored. Yeah, honey, I think Jesus saw it all coming.
Oh, absolutely.
Something that kind of bothers me, though, when I think about how this scenario plays out. The servant comes in to wash the feet and get the people who were in the room ready for their celebration, their ceremony. Mm-hmm. The one who does the washing isn't considered clean. They leave the room. And yet Jesus has just finished doing all this, being the servant, getting himself dirty.
Yeah.
And he sets aside that job and puts back on his robes of authority without someone else washing him again. And he goes and sits down. It seems to me, in some fundamental spiritual way, he's saying, when you do things from a pure heart, you're clean. Mm-hmm. And it itself is something that cleanses you. The service, the acting out of service for others, in itself is a baptism of washing and cleansing of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about how you're going to present yourself, come before the table, and participate in this. Jesus is literally going to break the bread and pour the wine to give them this offering so they could participate in what's going to come later for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's already sanctified for this.
That's a beautiful thought. I had not ever considered that before, that, you know, now what happens with Jesus, that he is ceremonially unclean at this point since he has washed their feet.
His holiness seemed to overwhelm any sense of there being an uncleanness or an undone chore when it comes to being quote-unquote holy. He just lives it so much, it's like an overflowing cup constantly.
Well, I think that's a great way to look at things, honey. As far removed as we are from these events,
mm-hmm.
we look back at them with haloed eyes.
Yeah.
We don't...
Soft focus, warm glow. Yeah.
Right. We don't realize the significance of all of the tiniest details mm-hmm. that are being played out here. What you just said kind of stuns me in some ways, because I think I had not thought of that before, that Jesus has made himself unclean to make them clean. It's a beautiful picture of what is coming in the next few chapters, of what Jesus is going to walk through and what Jesus is going to experience on the cross. Scripture tells us that he bore our transgressions, he bore our sins and the weight of our iniquity on the cross. He made himself intentionally unclean to bear these things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand in modern day Christianity, in our Protestant evangelical way, we don't understand the significance of what is clean, what is unclean, what is holy, what is unholy in that sense. That
according to the rule book.
According to the Jewish culture rule book, yes, for sure. Yeah, I'm going to have to ponder that one for a little while.
It reminds me of David dancing in the streets and taking his outer cloaks and all of his authority off of him and just worshiping people calling him naked. He probably wasn't naked.
For sure.
But he had definitely dressed down
mm-hmm.
and therefore didn't look like he was authoritative anymore. Like he gave away all of his glory
mm-hmm.
to worship God. And he's making a fool of himself in the street. And yet God says, that's my guy.
Yeah.
He's willing to lay down all of his authority, all of his trappings, and just be in the moment with me. I think Jesus is showing us the way to that too.
Mm.
Being in this moment means being willing and joyously serving another person in their point of need where they're not sure if they're living up to what they think God expects of them.
Mm-hmm.
God himself comes along and helps them to do it.
Yeah. Going back a little bit to something we talked about earlier about the humbling experience that the disciples were going through here, having their Lord and Master wash their feet.
Flip the whole table.
It really does. I mean, I love that. Jesus is all about flipping tables. We've read that before too. Yeah. I'm reminded of my time with the ministry that we have highlighted on Compassion Radio in the past, Asmara. And traveling with these group of women that go and minister to women living overseas. And one of the things that we do when we're at these retreats, when we're with these women, is give them pedicures. To do that, we have to wash their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them are so embarrassed by that. They don't want us to wash their feet. In fact, some of them will come and have, oh, I already washed my feet. Now you don't have to do it. You know, we're like, no, we're doing it. We're going to wash your feet anyway. Some of the ladies, especially when we were in Uganda and Kenya and women who'd come from African countries, and it's where they wear sandals a lot mm-hmm. or they go barefoot a lot, their feet were gross and they were very dirty, but they were beautiful because they had walked miles to serve the king. I see that as such a service of worship to be able to honor these women that way. Jesus is giving us that example to honor those who follow him. He himself is honoring these men at the table who have followed him these mm-hmm. 3 years
yep.
in their time of ministry. He is humbling himself to honor them. Now, I'm not trying to compare myself with Jesus here, but we went a long way to go and serve these women. We traveled far. And that's always viewed as very special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about that as well on Compassion Radio. When we go, we show up and people say, oh, you know, you came from so far to see us.
You must have something important to tell us.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus came a long way.
He did.
To walk in the dirt of Palestine, to walk in the dirt with these men and women who followed him for those 3 years. He knew the kind of stuff they'd been walking through.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the dirt that they had gone through and the things that they had experienced and the way that their feet had gotten dirty.
Yeah.
And yet he got down on his hands and knees and, like you said, washed the dirt out from between their toes.
We're running out of time, so I'm going to put one last thought on the table. Every time we humble ourselves enough to say, God, I don't know how to come before you, how to worship you adequately. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're stuck. But we want to be near him, but we're almost afraid to approach him. There's not a time where we come before God like that, where Jesus isn't saying to us, "It's okay, I've got you. Your feet are clean because I'm washing them." Mm. Every time we worship the King of Kings, He's washing our feet. Thanks for joining us today on Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. We'll be back with more of Chapter 13 on our next week's program. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. Make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, CompassionRadio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.